May not realize this, but one of the things that we've been attempting to do in this calendar year is to provide what we would call community blitzes. We did a seniors blitz early on in the year where we tried to go out and help seniors with repairs and different types of things in their home. About 2 weeks ago, they're trying to make sure I can keep going. I know you want me to go for about 45 minutes, so the water will help. I'm kidding. I won't go that long. So we had our school blitz where we went to three different county elementary schools and did some work there. And I think there was about 60 or so from the congregation that showed up on a Saturday and went down there and we worked. And then we came back here and had hot dogs and things to eat with those individuals, the teachers and the educators that were there. And that was such a blessing to us. We are planning on another blitz in December for the Hope Center. You'll hear more about that as we go on. And right now we're currently working on something in October, and if that comes about, you'll hear more about it. It may be with the local community Boys and Girls Club or one of the other agencies in the area, and you'll hear more about that. Our VBS group, I want to say thank you to you because you came up with a community blitz without anybody telling you to. What a wonderful, wonderful thing this is. And so to the leaders of the VBS and to all the workers, would you all stand up? Would you all stand up? Everybody that worked in it, did anything at all. Thank you. Thank you. But I'd like to tell you about the greatest community blitz that's ever taken place. John 3:16 puts it like this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God entered this sphere that we called earth, and at that time he put on human flesh. He was born as an infant. He lived approximately 33 years on this earth. In that time, the last 3 years of it was spent in what preachers and educators in the religious area would call his public ministry, where he walked into the areas of Palestine, went to Galilee and Judea and Samaria and so forth, and he shared the things that he would do and who he was. And that was the greatest mystery that anybody had ever heard. When we think of mysteries, we think of, you know, some kind of robbery or murder. As a matter of fact, my wife watches all these programs. You guys, you know the programs where somebody is killed and they try to ID whoever did it and all that. I'm kind of worried about it, so I've given my lawyer a letter that says if I die in an abnormal way, please investigate her. And, but seriously, you know, we look at mysteries and we look at it, but this mystery, this community outreach of God, is, I think, one of the most amazing mysteries. It boggles the mind if you think about it correctly. And John 3:16 reveals these things to us. There's certain pieces in here, and I just want to pull them out quickly for you. Firstly, I want you to note, John 3:16 said, for God. And so that gives us the subject matter, really, of what we're looking for. The one who has initiated everything, the one that does this, God. Now, this is a great mystery because, folks, there's some of you that if your child has to get a shot, you can't stay in the same room because you get so shook up about it. You get so upset about it. Many years ago, I remember James, Ruth had I don't know, hepatitis. And I tell everybody she was using dirty needles, but that's not the truth. That's not the truth. And she had hepatitis, and we went to the doctors and did all the doctor things, and they finally said, the entire family has to get shots. I thought, well, that's great. And James was about, I don't know, he must have been about 2 to 3 years old, and I'll never forget, they laid him down on the table, and of course, face down, and they said, the nurse held his upper body, and I held his lower body, but nobody held the middle part of the body. And when she gave him that shot, the middle part went straight up in the air, you know. And some of you can't bear those things. You just cannot bear it. But God let his son die. And there's one of the greatest mysteries that has ever been given to mankind to think about, to consider. Why would God, now this is God, he's the creator of everything. The book of Genesis tells us, for God said, and folks, after he said, the lights came on and everything else happened. And I'm telling you, he just said, he didn't have to have a construction crew of angels to get it together. He didn't pull together a bunch of individuals that were in heaven that had all kinds of skills and were able to do all kinds of things. He just said, and the world came into existence. And so that same God that said exhibited his power one day when Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee and the storm had arisen and everybody was so frightened that they would die. They woke Jesus up and Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. And he went to the edge of the boat and he said, peace, be still. And the Bible says, and there was a great calm. You see, God said again. When God speaks, everything listens. When God speaks, anything that he wants to happen will take place. When God speaks, God will speak again. The Bible gives us the picture of the end of time. And it lets us know that God will speak and he will stop the sun and he will stop the moon and the stars will cease and nothing will move. And everybody that's dead will raise up out of the grave. And all of eternity will stand before the God of all gods. Just because he speaks. So you see, when we read John 3:16, this is not just, we shouldn't be glib about it. And we shouldn't be fast about it necessarily, because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so one of the pieces of this great mystery is that God, the one who can make it all, the one who can stop it all, the one who can make the seas cease, throw waves in them, the one who can stop the winds from blowing, is the one who let his son die. And that's a mystery and should be a mystery to every one of us, especially those of us that have children. We would never give up our children like that. At least we do not think we would. Yet God did. Is that not a mystery? Why would he do it? He didn't have to. Nobody could make him do it. Well, it's what the kids were talking about here today. The love, where they talked about loving one another. And we love one another because he first loved us. You see, he gave us love. And so we are allowed the love of God in our lives. And so God spoke. Well, it goes on and it says, for God so loved the world. And so here's the picture again. God loved you and me. Here is a mystery to me. Folks, can we be honest with each other? There's people that you look at and you have a hard time loving. You look at the world around you and you begin to wonder about them and wonder what they're doing and why they're doing it. And you see the way some people act and you look at them and you scratch your head and say, I wonder if anybody could love that. And the biblical picture is, yes, there is somebody that could love that. You know, sometimes I look at some of you and I wonder why God would bother to love you. But the greater question is why God would bother to love me. See, that's the greatest question. The mystery that is in my mind. Why would he love me? It seems to me like God would say, you know, I'm going to love the world except for, and start pointing out a few of us. Maybe certain types or certain people with certain backgrounds or people that have certain attitudes or people that have done certain things. And it would seem to me like God would place some parameters like that on it, but he doesn't. For God so loved the world. The world. And that means regardless of where you come from, regardless of what you've done, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your education, regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, regardless of who you are, regardless of what your family's like, regardless of what you're like, God loved you. And that is possibly the greatest mystery there is. I know that some people say, well, you know, I wasn't that bad. I haven't been that evil in my life. And yet, God even loved you. All of you that are so good. All of you that really don't think you need God to help you. God loved you. Listen to Paul. Paul in the book of Titus, he talks about us. And this is how he puts it. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. What a mystery is the love of God. Yet, we're told that God loves the world. Not that he loves just Americans. Not that he loves just white people. Or not that he just loves nice people. Or not that he just likes moral people. Or not that just like that he just likes strong people or popular people, but all people. And that includes you. And so these kids, they talk about loving one another. And we see the first picture of loving one another through God. Through God. For God so loved the world. You and me. Well, the last piece of this that I would point out to you this morning is that God loves us so much that he gave his son so that we could have everlasting life. I realize that a lot of people believe that they're already alive, but let me just give you a biblical picture that gives us understanding of what we are like without God. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. So when you were born, some point in your life you came to the place where you understood the need of your soul. what was right, what was wrong. You understood that you were doing things you shouldn't. And at that moment, you died, as far as God was concerned. You were dead. And by the way, except you come to Jesus, you will never live. Never live. I know. You will breathe. You will eat. You may marry, have children, get your jobs, do the things you do, take your vacations, enjoy each other, and do all the things, accumulate stuff, and do all those, but you will never, never, never live as far as God is concerned. Because you are dead in your trespasses and sins. I don't know if I can clarify this in the way that I'd like to, but let me try this. Every person that I've ever seen that's died stopped breathing. You know that, don't you? You know, if you really want to know the reason anybody dies, it's because they stop breathing. I mean, that's the overall reason. I mean, there's some individual things that can produce that, but let me tell you, when you stop breathing and you're dead. We go out into the countryside today, and those of us that have a little bit of asthma problems or something like that, certain types of weather, doesn't the humidity really get to you sometimes? I mean, you're going sucking air, you know, especially if you walk up a hill. That happens as you get older. You young people don't understand that yet. But when you start up a hill, you start going, oh my, how big is this hill? And you start thinking about how many places you can stop and catch your breath because you're breathing. But have you ever been, I forget where I was at somewhere. I was at a restaurant or something, and a girl was at the counter. Oh, I know where it was. I was at Mahoney's. A girl was at the counter. And I stepped up to pay for the item I had, and I caught a breath of her perfume. It was very, very nice. This morning, Ruth came up to me, as she does every Sunday morning. She said, Gerald, put my necklace on me. And my hands don't work as well as they used to. And, you know, as you get older, you guys understand this. And you're trying to do that. And I want to say, you don't need this one, Ruth. Yeah, don't look good on you, hon. and I caught a whiff of Ruth's perfume this morning. And you breathe the air. Sometimes it's the clarity of the air. When you're out somewhere where you smell the pine needles or something. Folks, when you're dead, you never get a whiff of the perfume of God. You never breathe in the breath of God. The Old Testament said this, that God made man out of the dust of the earth, and he formed him, and he breathed the breath of life into him and made him a living soul. My friend, except that happens to you, you'll never, never, never know what life is like. You died in your trespasses and sins. Jesus came to this earth so that you could call on God to breathe the breath of life into you, so that you could live. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not life, for the wrath of God abideth on him. You never breathe God. And you're dead. But on Calvary, God gave his love to us and offers his breath to breathe into us so that we can live forever. That is another mystery. But it's revealed to us through Jesus. He walked the earth, went to Calvary, and died, and then rose from the grave so that we could know His love and have the life that He would give to us. The greatest community blitz that's ever been provided for mankind took place. I wonder here this morning if you know the Savior. Are you alive? Not are you working your jobs? Not do you take your vacations? Not did you get up this morning and start your car? Not did you go down to the local restaurant and get something to eat? But do you live? Except Jesus breathed life into you, you're dead. And nothing can save you except Jesus. And there's the mystery. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we come to You and thank You. You see every man, every woman, every young person that's in this room. You understand every need they have, every sorrow they go through, every difficulty that takes place. You know whether they have breathed the breath of life. You know whether they have been made new. You know whether they have been resurrected from the death of their sins. You know. And this morning, we can say with a surety that You loved us so much, You gave Jesus to die so that we could live. And so any person in this room that will believe You, any person that will look to You and say, I must have Jesus, and believe that these things are true, can have life. Can have life. Thank You for that kind of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?